Time for a summary of the news this lunchtime from Vaughan Savage.
President Karzai of Afghanistan has formally revealed that the United States and other powers are involved in talks with the Taliban. It's always been assumed that the US was reaching out to the Taliban, but this is the first high-level confirmation that negotiations are underway. Mr. Karzai gave few details but said the talks were going well. The Foreign Office said it supported Afghan-led efforts to reintegrate members of the insurgency. The Foreign Office is urging British nationals in Syria to leave immediately, using commercial means while they are still available. It says those who choose to remain should be aware that the British Embassy in Damascus is highly unlikely to be able to help if violence increases and there's a further breakdown in law and order. Syrian troops and tanks are reported to have attacked another village in the northwest of the country. Leaders of a reform movement in Morocco have called for nationwide protests against constitutional changes proposed by the country's king. King Mohammed said his plans would curb his own power and increase the authority of the Prime Minister and Parliament. But his critics, who are calling for a full separation of powers and parliamentary democracy, say the proposals do not go far enough. A woman has been rescued after falling into the River Foy in Cornwall. Three people who dived in at White House Quay to try to save her were also rescued by lifeboat crews. The woman has been taken to hospital after being pulled from the river unconscious. Four police officers were injured when trouble flared during a Loyal Order parade in North Belfast last night. Missiles were thrown as they struggled to restore calm during the Tour of the North march. The weather, most parts, will be quite breezy with a mixture of sunshine and occasionally heavy and thundery showers. Northern Scotland will remain mostly dry. Tonight will be dry with clear spells. Northern England and southern Scotland will remain cloudy with showery rain. The BBC News and Weather at 2 minutes past one.
Vaughan, thank you very much. Verdi adapts Shakespeare later this evening on Radio 3. Our opera on 3 invites you to the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, to hear Simon Keenly's side taking on the title role of Shakespeare's tortured soul, sucked into a web of destruction as he seeks the crown of Scotland. Antonio Papano conducts Macbeth at the early time of 5 o'clock this afternoon. But first today, time to join Catherine Bott for today's early music show.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Early Music Show. The composers are all members of the Bach family, the artists are the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Richard Egar, and the venue is the brand new studio at Media City UK in Salford. The main residents of the studio are, of course, the members of the BBC Philharmonic, and we're part of their inaugural festival here, the BBC Philharmonic Presents. In keeping with the Early Music Show's tradition of exploring the lesser-known avenues and alleyways of sacred and secular repertoire, we're exploring the music of some of the lesser-known members of that great musical lineage, the Bach family, continuing Richard Egar and the Academy of Ancient Music's series of Bach Dynasty concerts. And Richard's going to be talking to me during the programme about the music that's been chosen for today. But let's get started right now with a cantata by Johann Sebastian's great uncle, Heinrich, who was born in 1615 and died in 1692 when his great nephew was just 7 years old. Richard Egar directs the Academy of Ancient Music and the Academy of Ancient Music Choir in Heinrich Bach's Ich danke dir Gott, I thank thee God.
Thank you.
One of the very few works by Heinrich Bach that survives today, the cantata Ich danke dir Gott, performed by the singers and instrumentalists of the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Richard Egar. Now, Richard, do sit down on your comfy stool. Tell me all about Heinrich.
Well, Heinrich is one of the first members of the Bach dynasty to be recognized as one of the great composers. The earliest Bach that we know of who was a sort of musician was a chap called Feet Bach. No hands, but feet. And he was a baker and enjoyed whistling. I don't know if you know a lot of tradesmen who work with machinery. They're often extremely virtuosic whistlers. My technology teacher at Cheetham's in Manchester was a virtuoso whistler, and I think that Feet Bach was also. But Heinrich Bach is the first in the genealogy, which was gathered actually together by Johann Sebastian. He was a great collector of the family treasures. And Heinrich is the earliest surviving member of the family to produce works of, as you can hear, real substance. That's such a superb piece of music. So suddenly, at the beginning of this musical dynasty, you have this incredible music.
Well, he started out as a town musician, which is not particularly high up in the pecking order. It's a professional job,
yep.
But it's not like being a cantor, a Kapellmeister. But he did rise to greater things, didn't he? Moved from Schweinfurt, ending up as an organist in Arnstadt.
And there he sort of seeded the Arnstadt branch of the Bach family, which provided a great deal of musicians. Bach, in the 17th and 18th century, was just synonymous with the word musician. There were so many of them, and they were all very, very, very closely related. Sometimes a bit too closely related, perhaps, for genetic comfort, but it's certainly a fact that it was a very, very close-knit family, and they all learnt from each other and worked with each other as musicians.
So you're going to play a sonata by Heinrich Bach. Tell
yes.
us what to listen out for.
It's very typical of early 17th century sonata. We think, you know, if you say sonata to a member of the concert-going public today, they will think of perhaps a four-movement sonata. A sonata at the beginning of the 17th century was pretty much a one-movement affair. But within that one movement, there were very, very fast changes of tempo and contrast. So it's very typical, you'll hear this sonata opens with a presto, very exciting, then it breaks off, and there's a very, very, very slow contrasting adagio, and it keeps doing that. It's a little bit schizophrenic in its form, but it's very sectional, but it's a very, very delicious piece. And again, it shows what skill there was in the Bach family, even at that time, at the beginning of the 17th century.
Well, let's hear it. Heinrich Bach's Sonata in Five Parts, played by the Academy of Ancient Music, members of, directed by Richard Egar, here at the Early Music Show concert at the new BBC Philharmonic Studio in Salford. It's a bit tough, isn't it, on all the other Bachs, that nowadays they all have to be referenced, largely initially by their relationship to J.S. But it really is an astonishing dynasty for three centuries, stocking Saxony with musicians of every kind, from fiddlers and town musicians to organists, cantors, court musicians, and Kapellmeisters. And with the next music in this concert by J.C. Bach, well, you have to pick your J.C. very carefully, because there were 14 of them, you know, over the years. They were either called Johann Christian or Johann Christoph, Richard Egar. Which J.C. are we having?
We are having the J.C. who was the son of Heinrich, the music you've just heard, and he became organist in Eisenach. And he was Johann Sebastian's first cousin once removed. He was also the uncle of J.S. Bach's first wife. Just to give you a sort of sense of how closely knit the family was. It's a shame we're not doing some music by another Johann Christoph, who was Johann Sebastian's father's twin.
I think we should have a quiz at the end. Now, the cantata we're going to hear now, Ach, dass ich Wassers genug hätte, I was listening to it in rehearsal, and I have to say it was heartbreaking. It's very penitential, very different from the music we've heard so far.
It's completely self-deprecating. If I read you a little bit of the text, oh, had I but tears enough, that mine eyes were wellsprings of tears and water, and the tears should flow down me. I am not worthy. I am so bad. My sins are so awful. God will take me in the day of his wrath. It's really sort of pretty down stuff. And there's one phrase which is quite interesting in the second part. There's a short introduction, then a larger second section, where you hear the word, my sighs are great. And at that point, as a lot of the Bach family did, J.C. signed the family name, B-A-C-H. B in German is B-flat, so that's a B-flat. A, C, and H is B-natural. So in the middle of this incredibly penitential number, there's a little family signature which any member of the Bach dynasty would have been able to pick up, and most musicians would have noticed that little figure in the middle of that.
And it's scored, this cantata, brief and very much to the point, for alto, solo and strings. And today's soloist is Susanna Spicer. So we're going to hear Susanna and the Academy of Ancient Music. Richard Egar is moving to the organ now for a devotional piece in Johann Christoph Bach's cantata, Ach, dass ich Wassers genug hätte. Oh, that I had water enough in my head, and that my eyes were springs of tears, so that I could bewail my sin night and day. Susanna Spicer was the soloist with the Academy of Ancient Music, directed from the organ by Richard Egar, in that penitential cantata by Johann Christoph Bach. You're listening to the Early Music Show on BBC Radio 3 with me, Catherine Bott, and a concert from the BBC Philharmonic Presents Festival here at Media City in Salford. Richard, you're pretty keen. You're quite an evangelist for the Bach dynasty, aren't you? Tell me about the AAM Bach dynasty project.
Well, we had last season, we did an entire season devoted to the dynasty. So starting with the generation of Heinrich Bach and finishing with the sons. So including Wilhelm Friedemann, Karl Philipp and Johann Christoph Friedrich. We didn't, unfortunately, get to the grandson, but we're leaving that for another occasion. There is one further generation spawned by the last composer you'll hear in the programme, J.C.F. His son, W.F.E. Bach, actually lived until 1843. So that is sort of the end point for the Bach dynasty as far as musicians go.
Well, it's now time to let Richard concentrate on the playing task in hand, because he's going to be the soloist in the Concerto in A minor for keyboard by Johann Sebastian's brilliant, troubled son, Wilhelm Friedemann. I've always thought it must be very hard to be the favourite son of a genius. Wilhelm Friedemann Bach was born in 1710, and from the beginning his musical gifts were nurtured by his proud father, who taught him organ and harpsichord and assembled the little keyboard book for Wilhelm Friedemann Bach when the boy was just 9 years old. And as with many an infant prodigy or perhaps favoured child of a demanding father, Wilhelm Friedemann's artistic brilliance, he was a particularly gifted improviser at the keyboard, was matched by an instability of character, which saw him as an adult rise to the top of his profession and then plummet after Johann Sebastian's death to a hand-to-mouth existence, selling his father's manuscripts one by one. And here are Richard Egar and the Academy of Ancient Music, led by Pavlo Beznosyuk, to play Wilhelm Friedemann Bach's Concerto in A minor.
Thank you.
Richard Egar was the soloist in that concerto for harpsichord and strings by Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, Johann Sebastian's eldest son. And perhaps not very obvious to listeners at home on the radio, but a very pleasurable element of the writing there for us here in the studio was all the nifty cross-hands work, which made it great fun.
A lot of the stuff is really visual rather than musical. A lot of the scales that just sound like normal scales going up and down are actually divided between the hands several times, so it's really very much a physical party trick, if you like. It was obviously he was very keen on displaying that kind of trick.
It's really striking me, Richard, that with all the music we've heard today, from great uncle to sons of Johann Sebastian Bach, coming always back to the central genius, is that each one of those men stamps their individual identity on the music within the conventions of the time when they were writing. So what can you tell us about Johann Christoph Friedrich, whose music is going to end our concert?
I think it's simply, the descriptions at the time just say that he was the genial Bach. So he was obviously just a very, very nice chap. He never seemed to get angry. All the reports say that he was just a really, really pleasant kind of guy. And that comes across absolutely in his music. It's so lovely, but also incredibly well made. It's not weak, but it's just very, very genial.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with being genial and happy. You don't have to be a tortured genius to be talented. Well, the funny thing is about Johann Christoph Friedrich is that actually he was headed for the law. His father obviously didn't regard him as the must-do-music son. He was the fifth son. He was born in 1732. And he was in the middle of a law degree when his father, Johann Sebastian, died. And immediately he changed track and he turned his ambitions towards music. And he was to spend all his working life as a chamber musician at the small but highly cultured court of the Count of Schaumburg-Lippe. He was, though, to travel a great deal further than his father ever did. In 1778, he took his entire family to London to visit his brother, Johann Christian. He bought himself a fortepiano and lots of new music, and he particularly delighted in the music of Mozart. Johann Christoph Friedrich Bach wrote music of all kinds as part of his job, including 20 symphonies, most of them lost to posterity, but if I know anyone who's going to dig them out, it's probably Richard Egar. We're going to hear, to end with, a much smaller scale piece, a sonata in G major for cello and continuo. And the performers are cellist Robin Michael, continuo cellist Imogen Seth Smith, and harpsichordist and director of the Academy of Ancient Music, Richard Egar. Thank you.
Robin Michael was the cellist with the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Richard Egar, in that performance of J.C.F. Bach's Sonata in G Major. And that ends today's Early Music Show. It was recorded in Salford earlier this week as part of the BBC Philharmonic Presents Festival. The programme was presented by Catherine Bott and it was produced by Sam Phillips. Well, don't forget that every night during the week here on Radio 3, you can hear a live concert. We're at Christchurch in Spitalfields on Monday, for instance, to hear music from the early 17th century by William Byrd, interspersed with pieces by contemporary British composers, all performed by the Gabrielli Consort, directed by Paul McCreesh. And on Sunday afternoons, there's a chance to hear a concert recorded during the past week. Tomorrow, we're going to be at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in London to hear two Handel Concerti Grossi. Alison Berry directs the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment, and you can hear that concert at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon here on BBC Radio 3. Well, 2 o'clock on Saturdays on Radio 3 means it's time to hear a recital that we broadcast live last Monday lunchtime from Wigmore Hall. Two string quartets on the bill this afternoon. Here's Susie Klein.
Thanks, and a very warm welcome. Today, we're in the company of one of the most dynamic young string quartets around, the Belcher Quartet, here at Wigmore Hall this afternoon for music with a distinctly bohemian flavour, a quartet each by Dvořák and Janáček. They open with Dvořák's quartet in E-flat, Opus 51, written in the late 1870s after pieces like the Slavonic Dances, Moravian Duets. Those had given Dvořák an international reputation as a master of bohemian music. They'd also made their composer an awful lot of money. But there was a trade-off here. Suddenly, publishers didn't want Dvořák's more serious works, only the folk-infused novelties that their customers so enjoyed. Dvořák apparently wasn't at all bothered by this, a small price to pay, he said, for escaping poverty. So, when the famous Florentine Quartet approached him to write yet another Slavonic work, Dvořák was happy to oblige. The result was this string quartet, which included, in the second movement, a dumka, a Polish or Ukrainian lament. So now, coming on stage here at Wigmore Hall, members of the Belcher Quartet to perform Dvořák's string quartet in E-flat.